As you were talking, I was thinking back to a meeting I had early in Vayner's existence, I guess in 2012, and the person said, but Gary, Twitter won't be here in a year, won't exist in a year. Any fun stories of like outlandish statements about Web 1 or Web 2 or Web 3 where people have bet against technology?
This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
So we're continuing with interviews here live from Cannes Lions 2023. This is a real pleasure. Different perspective than the last conversation we had because Mark, who I'll let introduce himself in a second, has had nothing short of a legendary marketing career. And we'll definitely bring some of that perspective to the podcast. Want to ask him on the current state of marketing, AI, different things of that nature. But let me allow him to introduce himself. Mark, why don't you tell everyone listening to the podcast what you currently do? But then also, and I know you like to keep it humble, but I want to paint them some context picture. Also, maybe some of the things you've done in the past, my friend. And thanks for being on.
Okay, well, thank you. Great to be here. So indeed, I'm currently running a Salesforce Emerging Tech Studio, which started as Web3 and now has, gone into AI transformation with our, top, Fortune 500 customers, really leading them into this AI first world as we ourselves venture yes. to become an AI first company as Salesforce. Before doing that, I was actually CMO at Samsung. So when I joined Salesforce 3.5 years ago, and before, similar position at Unilever, running marketing globally, and before running global brands at Coca-Cola. So a few small brands that I've been lucky to lead, and indeed see marketing go and evolve from Web 1 to Web 2 to Web 3, and now to this new world, really, which touches everything, which is the artificial intelligence and general AI.
Given that incredible experience, a lot of people listening here, I get a lot more emails lately from under 25s who ask me, how do I become a CMO of a big brand? But before I get into that, which I think is an interesting thing for you to touch on before we get into some of the AI stuff, what about the concept of what have you seen happen time and time again at the Unilevers, at the Coca-Colas, at the Samsungs, and now at Salesforce? You get to see and interact with so many Fortune 500 brands. What's the opportunity, AKA, what's the mistake that you saw in Web 1 from big brands, Web 2 with social and mobile, and now what you see in Web 3? What's the common cliche mistake, especially knowing a lot of Fortune 500 CMOs and CEOs listen to this podcast as well, so it might bring some value for them, not just the emerging. What's the kind of mistake people tend to make at that company level, at those size companies when new technology happens?
It's a good question. We could do a whole series on that topic.
I've done a whole career on it.
But the reality is, one of the ones that comes to mind is really navigating the tension between dealing with the existing business
yes.
and future-proofing your business for new generations, for new technologies. And when you say Web 1, Web 2, Web 3, it's almost like, very often, you're always one web behind.
Yes.
I remember at the very beginning, it took a lot of time for companies to think that digital was a thing.
Correct.
Especially
in the advertising aspect, right?
Yeah, totally. And then when they embrace it, then kind of destroy it because it becomes, everybody does the same thing and then you lose the creativity. So you embrace, new technologies to do exactly the same thing that you were doing before instead of thinking, how do I embrace a new technology to do much more? Which is what I find fascinating with AI, because if we can generally build a AI that we can trust, then it becomes a platform of what I like to think of a convergence of all the functions. The main reason why I didn't want to continue to be a CMO and I wanted to go into a company that gave me the opportunity to deal at the C-suite across all functions is because I think that the CMO model is kind of obsolete. By at least when you think my job is to be the chief of marketing, when in reality, your job is to serve all the functions at the C-suite and enable with your knowledge of people, because consumer, that's one of the number one skill of a marketer, understanding people and then understanding brands, how each and every function actually is building the brand and engaging customers. And that's what we see on some of the early tests we did on generative AI, is this ability to turn a service call suddenly in a fantastic brand building opportunity and in a sell, you know, transformation, which is really fascinating.
I love that. What, just thinking real quick, as you were talking, I was thinking back to a meeting I had early in Vayner's existence, I guess in 2012, 11, maybe even 10. And the person said, but Gary, Twitter won't be here in a year. Won't exist in a year. Any fun stories of like outlandish statements about Web 1 or Web 2 or Web 3 where people have bet against technology?
Well, I think very often people, you know, don't want to embrace change because they're afraid of being changed.
Yes.
You know, so the reality is often when you see those challenges in adoption, it's actually because people are afraid, you know, for themselves, for their own career. But one thing that I'll say as an anecdote, which when I was at Unilever, me and my team, we created something called the Unilever Foundry,
yes,
which was really enabling brands to go from pitch to pilot, you know, for a very small amount of money, 50 to 100K in 6 weeks on, you know, experimenting, testing a new way of doing, you know, a new fraction of their job of marketing. And the main reason for doing this was not just to test those new marketing ideas, but it was to bring the outside in, to give the appetite to marketers to experiment, to take risks without feeling that they needed to spend millions, that they needed to, you know, spend months, etc. No, it was a very quick, you know, way of getting the guts almost.
Yeah, tasting it.
To taste new ways of doing things.
Actually, real quick, just because we're here and just because you have so much context on this, I get asked constantly by people outside of marketing, why does the marketing world still 30-second television commercials on such a big pedestal? Do you have a take on that?
Yeah, so I really think that TV ads, you know, have actually a one main purpose today, is to help a brand crystallize its value prop. So even if they won't be aired,
yeah,
it's actually
what's your 30-second pitch to why?
Exactly. And I see it when you have to crystallize it in 1 minute and you brief, you know, very smart people to do that, you get sometimes to a very crisp answer. Two stories on that. One, which I've never been able to prove if it's true or not, but one of the legends at Coca-Cola was that the "I'd like to teach the world to sing" campaign was actually originally, you know, created for a bottler conference. So it was supposed to be an internal message, but it was so good.
They went external.
That it actually went externally. And another one, which, you know, I found interesting, which was really interesting when I was at Samsung, was working together with actually Wieden and Kennedy and Casey Neistat,
yes,
to do an ad for the Oscars.
I remember.
Where we had to find the right balance between, you know, a advertising format that actually is what Wieden and Kennedy is you know,
classic.
Very good at.
Yeah, very good.
And then what Casey Neistat is doing, which is exactly the opposite.
Yes, of course,
and we needed to find a way to create an ad that was not an ad, but that was, you know,
a mix.
A content creation.
I thought some of the stuff you did at Samsung with Casey was really what I most care about. I'm so obsessed with contemporary marketing. Like, what is going to work today, right? Like, even the Coca-Cola example's from the 70s, right? Like, think about, like, right? Like, we're in 2023, and I thought what you were doing with Casey at that point, there was still a lot of people that in the ad world, 90% of people didn't even know what Casey was up to. In the real world, everyone knew what Casey was up to, and I've always thought that juxtaposition was interesting.
Yeah, and that's going back to having that curiosity constantly, going back to your very first question.
Yes.
Having those antennas out to know what's your, you know, platform, to constantly listen to what's going on And I guess that's why we're here talking about AI. I've 100%. Always been, you know, listening curious. To what's next, curious about what's next, and surrounding myself with people, you know, who do that, you know, even more so than I do.
Of course, getting trenches.
And I feel that that's part of how you future forwards constantly.
Do you think, your business. Last couple of minutes we have together, for the Fortune 5000 that are listening, Fortune 500 specifically for Salesforce and others, do you think right now the AI conversation, for the entrepreneurs, the small businesses, the creators, we talk about AI and we will in this exact podcast for different reasons, but for the Fortune 500 set, is this really about future-proofing?
I really think that it's about future-proofing. I also think it's about embracing a change that is going to be so massive that, you know, our human brain cannot even comprehend it at this stage. It's we're going to augment our intelligence.
That's what I think about
by
that.
By a degree of magnitude that we cannot imagine. And I often compare it to, you know, when we started with electricity. We had no idea that everything here would be enabled by, you know, electricity.
Yeah, even to a smaller level, like the airplane. It's a modern
invention.
Exactly.
So like, it changes the world. Everything. It changed the way we live. And I think AI is going to change things and augment us to levels we don't understand. So every minute that a Fortune 500, a Fortune 5000, you know, doesn't embrace AI, they are falling behind. And one of the advices, you know, I give to my own children, I use this, you know, African proverb, the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is now. Don't wait 20 years, 20 months, 20 days, even 20 seconds, you know, to embrace AI. Go on it. Try to, as we discussed yesterday, to ask yourself, how much of my job today is AI enabled?
Yes.
You know, and then really instill that culture. And maybe that's, the biggest challenge, I think, is to think I'm going to become an AI first and I'm going to need to change my culture.
Yeah.
As a corporation, as a company, AI first.
Not a cute nice to have, but a part of truth reality.
Exactly.
Mark, thank you so much.
Thank you, Gary.